Welcome to the Pain Science Division podcast. My name is Judy Hunter, and today I'll be speaking with Sarah Sheff, who's an occupational therapist. Sarah and I together plan and implement the OTPT session at the University of Toronto Pain Week. And in that session, the students spend a half day learning with, from, and about each other around their overlapping and complementary and collaborative areas of managing individuals with chronic pain. So Sarah is here today to talk about mindfulness-based therapies, and I'd like to introduce her and have Sarah tell you a little bit more about her practice so that you can understand where she's coming from.
Great, thank you, Judy. Glad to be here today. So my practice as an OT is in the community, and it's called A Different Life. And I see individuals and groups with a range of different chronic pain conditions. And so that means that I need to be able to employ a range of different types of interventions. And so one of those is the use of mindfulness-based therapies. And I found those to be particularly effective with my chronic pain clients to help them to manage their conditions and to be able to lead a more meaningful and valued life.
Thanks. So you apply several different therapies, cognitive behavioral therapies, mindfulness, acceptance and commitment therapy that we'll talk about later today. And you do these, I understand, you flex back and forth between these and do these depending on your assessment and the individual needs of the client.
Yes, that's right.
And today we're going to focus on mindfulness therapies. And hopefully the goal of our talk today together is to understand a little bit more about the rationale for mindfulness, what it is, and how we as physical therapists can integrate some of these principles to better meet the needs of our clients. And when, though, to call someone like you, who is a trained mental health professional, to be part of that team working with this with specific patients.
Great.
So let's start. Can you please start with a simple definition of an explanation of what is this thing called mindfulness?
Sure. Mindfulness comes from a long tradition around meditation, but it's really been brought into healthcare over the last couple of decades to provide a new tool for our clients in managing all sorts of different types of disorders, and particularly around chronic pain. And what mindfulness can be described as is a way of having awareness, paying close attention in the present moment without judgment. And so it really embodies a lot of curiosity. Sometimes in mindfulness we talk about having a beginner's mind, so looking at something as if we've never seen or thought about it before. And that can be things like troubling thoughts, troubling feelings. And so that can be a new way for many of our clients to look at things like their pain, being more curious about it, learning how to see it without judgment.
So help me here, with cognitive behavioral therapy, as I understand it, and I'll put it in my own language, as we're learning to recognize thoughts that may be maladaptive or unproductive, learning how to recognize them and modify them so that we or the patient can move forward. But you're saying with mindfulness, there's no judgment here. Can you just help me? Can you just explain that a little bit more and explain the difference a little bit?
Sure. In cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, one of the components is around learning to recognize those, as you said, troublesome or maladaptive thoughts and thought processes, and to be more aware of them and to give them a specific kind of label. In mindfulness, we're really just noticing our thoughts. So really staying at that stage of being aware of those thoughts, but we're not putting a judgment of this is a good thought, this is a bad thought, this is helpful, this is unhelpful. We're just becoming aware of what's happening in that present moment.
So can you, just so I can understand it a little more, can you describe what mindfulness then looks like in practice?
Mindfulness can look very different depending on the type of practice that we're doing. And so it can range from anything from a few present moment awareness breaths, paying attention to our breathing for a couple of moments, to hour-long sessions of meditation. And it really has a lot of variety in it that can be appealing to people in different types of ways. So one of the simplest techniques that I like to use with all of my clients, if they're willing, is using their breathing as a focus point for their attention, for their awareness. So we're always breathing. It's always with us. It's something people can do anywhere, is just take a moment to stop and notice their breath. Just pay attention to their breath. So it really is as simple as that. It sounds simple, but it's not always simple to do it. And that's why it takes practice.
That sort of reminds me of yoga class, where we pay attention to our breathing and pay attention to different parts of the body. Is there overlap here?
Definitely there is. There's meditative aspects to yoga, for sure. And there are mindfulness-based yoga classes and interventions that are being used now as well. I would say possibly what one of the differences would be is what the goal is of that meditation. So for some people, the goal might be during a yoga class to relax at the end of a class. In mindfulness, we try to go into it again with that beginner's mind. We're curious. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And so we don't come into a meditation having a goal in mind.
No goal in mind?
No goal in mind, which
that
I know.
That doesn't sound like rehab.
Right. And I think that can get a little bit confusing, because overall, we do have a goal. The goal is to lead a valued life, to be able to engage in the different types of rehab and different important activities. But during a particular mindfulness activity, we don't have a particular goal. Our maybe one goal is to be aware of the present moment.
So how does that fit into rehab? When would you think, in order to move forward, this patient's at a plateau, in order to move forward, we might try some mindfulness strategies or refer them to mindfulness therapy? What would be an indication?
So one of the things that we know about mindfulness is that it has a lot of potential to help people move out of these kind of stuck places, to be able to cope more effectively, to be able to pay attention more effectively to different things in their life, and to gain a sense of acceptance. And that really comes from practicing non-judgment. And so the hope, and what we're seeing in research, is that sense of non-judgmentalness transfers into different parts of an individual's life. So often, if we're seeing someone who's at that plateau, if they're exhibiting a lot of fears, if they're avoiding exercise, if they're avoiding doing a lot of the things that are important to them because of their pain, that could be a really good indication that there needs to be intervention that's more psychotherapy based.
And that, it sounds, you know how we're coming towards acceptance and commitment therapy, because I'm so enthralled with this idea. Mm-hmm. But it does sound like mindfulness overlaps with acceptance.
Yes.
It's saying, this is where I am. I'm going to accept this. It's almost like fits in with counteracting perceived injustice, I guess. So this is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, this is my deck of cards. I'm going to accept this and move forward rather than...
Yes. So acceptance is not about giving up, which is what we kind of think of when we think of the word acceptance. Like, oh, well, this is this is what it is, this is my life from now on. That's not what we mean by acceptance. It's more like what you were saying, this is how things are right now, that present moment awareness, but things can change. These are my goals, these are my values. I can accept that I might still have pain, but there are still ways to move forward.
Well, I got very interested in mindfulness because of readings of a neuroscientist, Dr. Davidson from University of Wisconsin, and where he talks about changing the brain and neuroscientific research on how mindfulness can really makes use of brain plasticity and can change the brain to change how we process thoughts. He's done work in children with obsessive compulsive disorder, but he's also done work in pain as of some of his graduate students. But I wonder if you could tell me a little bit, if we go back a little bit further from Dr. Davidson, and tell me how who originated mindfulness and how is it part of our healthcare system that's even covered by insurance?
Mm-hmm. So mindfulness has been, the concepts of mindfulness have been around for hundreds, thousands of years, and they really do originate from Eastern traditions of meditation. But back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, they started being brought into the mainstream, and the name that we associate with that is Jon Kabat-Zinn. And so he was one of the first to write about mindfulness, to research mindfulness, to make it accessible to our Western culture, and to bring it into healthcare settings. And he first actually used it with people with chronic pain. And so it has a very long history of being used and researched in chronic pain populations.
So I led you astray there. Thank you for that. Let's go back to what a session looks like. We talked about breathing and thinking of concentrating on different body parts and your breath. Can you move on from there? Move us more into different sessions.
So into some of the group sessions, what that might look like is we'd have the clients come into the group. We might do a brief sitting meditation. So sitting, focusing on thoughts, focusing on our breathing, focusing on the present moment, sensations that are being felt, and that would be a guided meditation by myself as a group facilitator. After each practice of meditation in a group, we do a more detailed sharing of the experience. So what came up for people? What was difficult? What was surprising? What did they notice as they were going through that experience? And when we go through that, we can then talk about how those thoughts might be familiar to people, might be a pattern of thinking, or how they were surprised when they were able to be kind to themselves in that moment and not judge themselves for having pain or being distracted from the meditation. And those are really great moments for being able to generalize from the meditation into how a client interacts with other things in their life. So when they're in a physio session maybe and they're getting down on themselves for not being able to do a particular exercise the way they want, they might be able to bring some of that kindness into that session and maybe able to cope more effectively, be able to motivate themselves.
So learning how to be kind to them.
That's one of the great things about mindfulness.
Aware of what's going on in their body. Okay, now how can we as physical therapists take those skills or use them ourselves for activity counseling? So we want to increase the patient's activity. You said a good indication for mindfulness was in individuals who had a fear of movement, fear of re-injury, fear of some sort of activity. So how does mindfulness relate to our interventions around goal setting and activity and increasing movement?
So maybe I've given the impression that mindfulness is only done sitting down or with our eyes closed, and that's not the case. We can bring mindfulness into our activity. We can do activities mindfully, and that can be things like brushing our teeth, having a shower, just paying attention to exactly what's going on, the sensations, the emotions, the thoughts in that moment, whatever it is that you're doing. That can be very mindful. And so when it comes to activities that you're setting as physiotherapists, a client can bring that mindful state of mind to those activities. So, for example, if someone's walking their dog and they start to feel pain, and that's one of the goals for them, is to walk their dog to get that exercise, then instead of going to a place of fear and avoidance when they feel pain, going to a place of curiosity and present moment awareness, being curious, oh, I'm noticing I feel pain in my knee. What is that like? Where exactly do I feel it? Do I notice anything else happening? Am I getting tensed up in my body? Do I want to stop? And just being curious about what's happening in that moment. And bringing that can allow someone, hopefully, to continue on with that activity instead of moving directly to avoidance.
And you can follow up with that, with the tenseness or with the response to that pain, of how to better manage and the activity.
Exactly.
That's really helpful. Can you tell me more about ways we can integrate it into our physical therapy practice?
Yeah. So, like I just said about using mindfulness in order to make our activities more mindful, I think that's a great way to bring it into a physio session. So when someone starts feeling pain, instead of distracting from it, being able to be present with it, be able to notice it, practice that non-judgmental attitude towards it while you're going through a therapy session with someone. You can also use these brief mindful breathing moments, taking a couple of minutes as a break together, where both of you go through a minute or two of mindful breathing. And that can help if somebody's getting very overwhelmed, if they're starting to exhibit some fear. You can stop and say, okay, let's take a few minutes and we'll just take some deep breaths, we'll do some breathing, just focus on our breathing. And that can be very grounding for a lot of people. And then there's also bringing mindfulness into your own life as a physiotherapist and into your own practice. And it can really help with reflection, which can help us to deepen our client relationships and our therapeutic alliances with our clients. And something that I like to do is, after I see a client, and I'm often out in the community, so I'll go back to my car and I'll sit for a minute and do a little bit of mindful breathing, and that allows me to reflect. And so one of the things that you can do as a healthcare provider is, there are specific courses, mindfulness-based courses for healthcare providers. And these aren't to train you to teach mindfulness. These are to help you integrate mindfulness into both your life and your clinical practice.
And how do we find these courses?
They're available all around Toronto. You can check out Mindfulness Toronto is an organization that often lists a lot of courses. The Center for Mindfulness is a good place to find different types of training and courses as well.
And other cities would have comparable.
And other cities would also have comparable, yes.
So this brings us to something I've been hoping we could add on at the end here, and that's, there's lots of interesting papers and good evidence for this acceptance and commitment therapy, which in my mind seems to build on mindfulness. And there seems to be a really growing evidence base with this. So can we spend the last couple minutes of this interview just discussing what ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, is? And can you describe it and just compare it to CBT?
Sure. And so we like to call it ACT because there's another therapy called ECT, and it can get confusing. So it tends to go by ACT as the acronym.
Okay.
But it really is a mindfulness-based therapy as well. And like CBT, it is focused on in a cognitive and behavioral framework. But unlike CBT, it is not about symptom management. So within cognitive behavioral therapy, one of the main goals is to be able to manage somebody's symptoms, and that's often their intrusive thoughts, their troublesome feelings and emotions, problematic sensations, those kinds of things. In ACT, what we're doing instead is trying to open up and become more psychologically flexible. So we're making room for not just having those difficult thoughts and feelings, but also having other types of thoughts and feelings, and that's where the acceptance comes in. So there's 6 different principles of ACT, and one of those major principles is present moment awareness and being able to contact the present moment, and that's really where the mindfulness component comes into ACT.
I find this very exciting because I've seen a lot of the evidence around acceptance and psychological flexibility, and it's sort of my new hope for the future for me. But can you just describe a little bit more, because we are short of time, just quickly what an ACT ACT session looks like in practice?
There's not necessarily a specific protocol, and often with CBT you'll see very structured protocols for doing CBT. ACT is a little bit different because of its very individualized, very client-centered nature, allows you to have different starting points. So within the 6 different principles, you can really start with any of those areas, so things like contacting the present moment, diffusing ourselves, getting unstuck from our difficult thoughts, working with avoidance and moving towards acceptance, and then one of my favorites, as an OT, we talk a lot about meaningful activity, and so values is one of those principles of ACT. And so starting with values can often be a great point for people with chronic pain to help them identify things that will motivate them.
Thank you. I think it's very interesting and I can certainly see a role for it. But as a PT, if I sense there's a roadblock for which ACT could be, an ACT-based strategy could be of benefit, how could I access this form of treatment for my client?
One of the organizations where you might be able to find listings is the Association for Contextual Behavioral Science, ACBS. And so if you Google that, you should be able to find that association and be able to find ACT therapists in your area. It's also something that I provide through A Different Life, and may also be able to find it through ACT Ontario.
So with all these cognitively targeted strategies, we're interested in movement, and so we can use these skills to target cognitively targeted exercise. So the more we are aware of them, even though we're not mental health professionals, we can translate these principles into our practice, and we can also work collaboratively with health professionals like you,
mm-hmm.
who are trained in mental health and psychologists.
Absolutely.
So there's definitely a spot for collaborative practice here and for empowering physical therapists to integrate more cognitively based interventions into our activity strategies.
Yes, and I think that one of those great ways of collaborating is making sure that we're all on the same page and providing the same kind of messaging to our clients, and that'll set them up for the most success.
So our time's up, but thank you, Sarah, for helping us learn more about mindfulness. And I thank you for the tips and the places to contact. And then can you just at the end tell listeners how they can contact you if they have any further questions?
They can absolutely reach out to me at my website, which is adifferentlife.ca, or send me an email through Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at adifferentlife.ca.
So thank you for your time today, and I hope all of you listening to this podcast have enjoyed listening to Sarah as much as I have. I'm going to share one reference with you, and that's a book by Dr. Richard Davidson. Dr. Davidson's a neuroscientist, and his work is principally looking at, he does functional imaging, and his major focus is on the interactions between prefrontal cortex and the amygdala and regulation of emotion in both normal subjects and people with affective disorders, anxiety disorders. And as I said, many of his students have looked at pain. But his work is very interesting, and if you're so inclined, he has a very interesting book out. He has several scholarly publications, and he was co-editor of the journal Emotion. But he has a very interesting book out that you'll enjoy reading about neuroplasticity and cognitive and emotional factors, and it's called The Emotional Life of Your Brain. Also, there's a very interesting documentary on his work called Free the Mind, and that documentary I actually saw at Hot Docs last year in 2012, and I think you can find that online. So I hope you enjoyed this session, and I hope you're interested in mindfulness and in ACT.